There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, my talkers, we're in the final stretch of the Tuesday show of Lori and Julia. Let's see what they have to say, and I bet we'll get some study of duh. I'm not 100% sure, but
well,
we could get
Tuesday?
Some.
Is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Then we're going to get
some study of duh, which we love our study of duh, so let's have fun in hour three of
Lori
and Julia.
Let's do it. Well, if you were one of the people, because 2 years after it was announced that Hugh Jackman would be starring in 2020 in The Music Man on Broadway, and you were planning on going, the tickets have went on sale this morning and they're already sold out.
What?
For The Music Man.
Wow.
Yep. That's when the tickets, they went on sale this morning. The Hugh Jackman musical revival is putting regular price tickets. They put them on sale. They were already selling for secondary sites for thousands of dollars. And Barry Diller and David Geffen announced who will play Scott Rudin as the producer on the film. Because remember, he stepped down.
Right.
Because I guess he's just an abusive
man. No, everyone hated him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't be happier.
They've chosen a woman.
Okay.
Which was a smart move after the outing, not because he was a sexual harasser of women, but because it's probably just a good, fresh look for the company. And so her name is Kate Horton, and I guess she did the Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime on Broadway.
I never read that book.
Oh, that was a great book.
I know. Everyone read that book. I never read it.
That was
everyone
a hot book.
Read that book.
Yep. I thought you read that.
It felt like it came in Running in the Rain, the Garth Stein book.
Yeah.
At the same time. No, I never read that book.
Yeah. And so anyway, people still think he might be pulling the strings, Scott Rudin,
sure,
or something. But The Music Man, so it's
Hugh Jackman, Sutton Foster.
Yes, yeah, Sutton Foster.
I've got good news for you, Lori.
Tell me.
Okay. That doesn't matter, because in Minnesota, Chanhassen is reopening the big stage July 2nd.
The Music Man.
The Music Man is right here. It's reopening July 2nd. And boy, they put on such phenomenal shows. And this was supposed to open before the pandemic hit. Remember,
that's
it was
right.
All scheduled to open. Couldn't be more excited. And so tickets are available for that. So you can just see it here locally.
That's true.
That's one great
show.
Musical.
Yeah.
Energy. Great dancing, great.
Let's see if Grant's ever seen it.
Have you ever seen it?
The Music Man, the movie, the musical.
With Hugh Jackman in it?
Well, no, that hasn't come out yet, but he's starring on Broadway. But the original Music Man, it had,
nope.
What's his name, Lori? Not Walter Matthau. Someone will call us 651-641-1071. What was his name? James Preston. Robert Preston.
Mm-hmm.
He was the original,
Man.
And I think, was it Shirley Jones?
Yeah. I just watched the end of The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I don't know that I'd ever seen it. And Ron Howard is the little boy.
Yes.
And Shirley Jones is so beautiful in that.
She's gorgeous.
I mean, that's a sweet movie.
That is a sweet. What was that?
It was on AMC, I think.
That is so.
Or TCM.
Random. Yeah. That was a great movie.
I was thinking of The Greatest Showman. I've seen that.
Yes.
And my mom went to go see the live performance of that as well.
Wait, which everyone said was unbelievable.
Yeah, she was one. I watched that with her, and then her and my aunt went together with that and couldn't say anything bad about
it. I will not be surprised if The Music Man on Broadway with Hugh Jackman does get filmed.
Oh, 100%.
You know that they right. film that right, somehow. Right. But yeah, you're right. It would be great to see at the Chan Hassan because...
they do such a good job.
It's a great show with it great
is.
Music.
It really is.
I mean, you might not know the show, but you know the song 76 Trombones.
Oh, yes.
That's from...
There we go.
And okay. it's a good message and it's, you know...
Right here in River
fun
City.
Fun characters. Yeah. So that's a rich one to see. So July 2nd again, if you haven't got your tickets for that.
Yeah.
But I do think live theater, because we've got information from the Children's Theater. They've got their schedule coming mm-hmm. out. Everything's starting, you know, I think closer to the fall. I know Hennepin Theater Trust. They've got right. some cool shows coming up. I know the Orpheum, the yeah. Ordway, which are part of that. But the Ordway also has great shows. So a lot of local theater. And I do think things are going to sell out. So
yeah,
people
I
should
think so.
Get on it because people are hungry to be entertained that way.
Yes.
And share the camaraderie it. With people. Sitting next to you instead of those plexiglass. I'm just having this vision back to going in somewhere and having to talk through the plexiglass to everybody for a year. Or having it, you'd sit somewhere and there's four tables over, there's another plexi. I mean, what a weird year.
Well, that's how transmissible that
I know.
Stupid virus.
So dumb.
And so glad that science was on top of it.
Yeah. And people
and we got a vaccine. And
people want to celebrate
time.
Together and be part of a...
For sure. Okay, so did you, you might not have watched it. I don't think you did because it was on Apple Plus.
I didn't.
It was Tehran.
No, but I heard it was great.
That is a great show. And so I think Casey and I watched it too because we're like, well, let's try and make this Apple Plus subscription work because we got it for the morning show. Let's
yes,
be honest.
Yes, and you didn't cancel it.
And we didn't cancel it. And Apple Plus is, you know, they do have some, there are some decent shows on there. The one, you know, that I love, the Moon Show.
Oh, yeah, you did. You liked the moon one. Traveling.
Joel Kinnaman. I can't think of it. But Glenn Close is joining Tehran as
she
a series
is?
Regular. Yeah, so that's kind of great. It's kind of like it's about this British woman living in Tehran. And she is a young Mossad agent undercover on a top secret mission in the heart of Tehran. So think of it as like a homeland.
Okay.
Type of series, and it's just excellent. And the first season of the show was created by Mosh Zander, and he's created other shows that we've liked.
Okay.
I can't think of what they are
all
right now, but kind of like on the line of spy, CIA,
that type of
stuff. So she's very excited.
If you want to know, Lori, the one that you like so much was For All Mankind.
For All Mankind
on
Apple
you
Plus.
You loved that.
That is an amazing, amazing, amazing show. And this it's going to air in 2022, and they're going to film it in Greece.
Oh, lovely.
So that's what Miss Glenn Close will be
probably
doing.
She's very excited about that.
We also have music news from the state fair. Oh. All the free stages. Okay, so we don't yet know our big
grandstand
shows. Other than the Doobie Brothers and Tim McGraw.
And Tim McGraw is...
A Wednesday night.
Yes, it is.
Wednesday night
yes,
at the fair. Whatever date that is. I feel like it's September, but Davina and the Vagabonds... are going to be playing at that Northwoods Amphitheater over by Lulu's
Love
in
that.
The Blue Barn.
Love that amphitheater.
First Avenue goes to the fairs over there. Dr. Mambo's Combo got two nights at the International Bazaar.
I love it. Who's at the Liney Lodge?
Well, all kinds of bands, but the legendary Wailers. We're going to have two nights of getting reggae and Jamaican and all of that. And also a band that... oh, God, we saw them. Casey and I used to go and see them at the Lee's Liquor Lounge. Big Sandy and his Fly Right Boys.
I just
kind
love
of a
the
Texas.
Yeah, rockabilly,
rowdy,
kind of.
Rockabilly.
Love it.
Let's see. The Jorgensons are out there. Molly Mayer band. So, because there's so many stages.
Yeah, there are.
Lolo's Ghost. And, you know, of course, we're going to have our Lumberjack show. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll try and pick up a Lumberjack to be on our show one day. Tonic Soul Fala or whatever they're always there.
Yeah, I know.
But they've got all kinds of, you know, Mary Cutrefello is playing a lot of good mix of local and Anyway, it's kind of exciting.
Okay, so this is, what's their date today? June 22nd, and you're talking about the state fair?
I never do
what,
this in
What
June.
Is happening?
Exactly,
what is June, going yeah. on? This is how excited we are for anything.
Exactly. Normally, anything. Grant, I don't, it's verboten to talk about the fair, for
well, good
food,
to know.
All of that in a normal year.
Got it.
But now, because I'll never take the fair for granted again, we can talk about the fair all
okay.
day.
Oh, you're, when the minute yeah. the food comes out, the new food, we're talking about it.
Yeah, I don't care about talking about the food.
We
that
do.
One bores
we
me.
Do. I the know. Music bores me. I'm going to talk about the food.
I'm with you, Julia. I want to talk about it.
We eat so little of it.
You're doesn't all, matter. We all get excited.
You're talking no action but about the food.
Other people like the food. There's going to be thighs this year.
Well played.
Thank you.
Well played.
Thank you. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
Okay, so you got to take a look at this. They were calling it Think Downton Abbey in Minnesota, and Holly posted it for us, and it's a drone going through Glen Sheen Mansion as if it was back in the day and you lived there, and what it would be like having someone waiting on you and coming into your breakfast. Have you guys ever toured the Glen Sheen Mansion
Never.
In Duluth?
Never.
It's kind of fun. I mean, that's how the lumber barons lived back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's a really a beautiful spot if you're up in Duluth at all.
I've always wanted to go there.
They have concerts. They have music out on the Great Lawn, and they have food and drink. It's kind of become a
staple.
Yeah, it's cool. Kind of a cool thing. But anyway, take a look at that. It's just, it's kind of, you know. And if you want to see Avril Lavigne join TikTok with the help of Tony Hawk, we've also put that up for your
cool
pleasure. Who will we get? Who will be our... Are we ever going to do TikTok? I'm not doing it. You're not
TikTok,
doing it.
TikTok, what you got?
Right. Yeah, then
Brittany makes Julia do a TikTok Brittany, from yeah. time to
she
time.
She does make me do
and
one.
She'll have me do one. That's yeah. the way we want a TikTok.
Yeah, just...
When someone else does people. It. That's people are on to us. This is how we roll now.
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh. All right, listen, we'll be right back with the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Holly, we are ready for anything.
Anything.
Well, fabulous. Let's read about Copernicus this afternoon in the Dirt Alert. No, I kid. We're going to talk about
it. I'm like, what?
Well, yes. We're going to be talking about Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson and their breakup and the shade that is happening on social media.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. So let us set the table here. Tana Mongeau, she's a YouTube star. She's big with the kids. So she went to Twitter on Sunday to speculate about Tristan Thompson's behavior at her birthday party. She tweeted the following. All I know to tweet about my birthday party last night is that Tristan Thompson was one of the first attendees. She said, like, babe, where's True? Being like, Tristan Thompson, why are you at my birthday party?
Father's Day.
And Father's Day and not with your three-year-old daughter.
Or when you, your other kid, you got two.
Thank you. Exactly. Now, Khloe Kardashian seemed to show her support when she liked a tweet from a fan who shaded Tana for her uncalled for message. This is the tweet that Khloe liked. Quote, shut the bleep up. This screams attention seeking at its finest because you know well that man gonna make headlines over anything pertaining to women. So it was a lot of shade back and forth being like Khloe supporting the fact that there was no drama.
Right.
But then
there was all this drama.
But then there was all this drama happening at the hotel in Los Angeles with Tristan Thompson leaving all, you know, crumply and allegedly with three other ladies.
Yeah.
All happening at the same time.
And the night that their reunion was on and she so fiercely defends him.
It's just rude. He's rude. He's insensitive and rude, and he is who he is.
Yeah, she should believe.
The tiger hasn't changed his stripes.
She should believe him.
Right.
He shows her all the time who she is, and she should apologize to Jordan Woods and try and get her sister
exactly.
to be friends again. She dumped a longtime friend.
Right. He did.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the Daily Mail has the photographs of Khloe out and about with little True exclusively. I mean, you know, they're just out in the valley doing some errands.
And yeah, Chloe, forget having Tristan be the biological father of
another child. Why would you
forget it? Forget it. Forget it. Yeah. Just go to a sperm bank.
Well, right. Also, Chloe, let's consider you. You're beautiful and successful.
She is beautiful.
And all of these superlatives. Surely there is a man out there if you want to be in a relationship with somebody. Or, you know, Lori, to your point, better living through science.
Yeah.
If that is what you want.
Maybe go to therapy and lose the type. Maybe sure. The professional basketball player who's an active...
I'm Bradley Traynor.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game. And you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
The NBA player is not the guy for you.
Women, there's too much competition.
There's too many women.
Too many nights on the road. And if he already, yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Let's talk about Meryl Streep.
All right. It's her birthday.
It is.
And to celebrate her 72nd birthday, Meryl Streep gets a New York City subway stop named in her honor today.
No way. Isn't that one?
They changed it from 72nd Street to 72nd Streep.
I absolutely think that's
just
cool.
Just for the day or what?
I hope it's permanent.
No.
Well, it was an artist, installation. It is very cute because the way that they did it is that, you know, you see the subway sign and these artists hacked the T on the end and then they put a letter P instead. So that's it looks cute. Like Street. Did you guys read about Sharon Stone's comments about Meryl Streep?
Okay. And I did the research and this is from a magazine May 27th called Zoomer. It was a Zoomer. It was the magazine. And this whole thing about what Sharon Stone said about Meryl Streep being put on a pedestal it was all taken out of context when you read the story, because she apparently has a Meryl Streep story in her memoir, which I haven't read. But it's basically, it's weird in Hollywood how we'll pick just a small slice, like a Meryl Streep, and people go, oh, you're so lucky you got to work with her, instead of being, oh, you're so lucky you got to work with Sharon Stone, or whoever the actress is, that we just put a rare few on a pedestal and they get all the fawning.
Right. Right.
She was making a valid point. It wasn't a slam on Meryl Streep, because Meryl Streep is the person on a pedestal. She gets oohed and aahed over everything. Sometimes she gets nominated for crap she shouldn't even get nominated in because she's Meryl Streep. I give you Iron Lady.
But again, Iron Lady when she played What's Her Butt from the
Margaret
UK.
Thatcher.
Thank you.
People,
What's Her Butt probably is bad.
They do making fun over her in a way that they don't do over like other actors.
Understood, but doesn't it?
But so what she was just saying is that Hollywood is weird how we put certain people on a pedestal, and they're always the ones, and you go, oh, you're lucky you got to work with Meryl Streep, instead of Meryl Streep was lucky she got to work with.
Okay, so I'm just going to back up on this one a little bit.
You didn't read the story,
all right,
and I did.
That's fair. So that's fair. All right, I'm going to trust you.
It's taken.
But you always have a Sharon Stone edge.
But I read the whole story Zoom, and it was from May 27th of this year.
Yeah, they dug it up. You know, it was questioning that Meryl Streep is an icon for acting, and that immediately when you think of successful actor in Hollywood who was an actor.
Yeah.
You think of Meryl Streep. And what Sharon Stone does in the excerpt that's gone viral on Twitter is she names a bunch of other actresses who are equally as talented as Meryl Streep, but their names are not put up there in the spotlight as being the icon of a certain type of acting.
We are far more male iconic actors that we can name, but we don't give that to women.
All right.
Yeah. Well, and then Sharon Stone, I think fairly to her point, she's like, look, there are certain roles that Meryl Streep wouldn't be the best person to play those roles. And, you know, she does point out her roles in Basic Instinct and Casino as being two of those where she's like, you know what? I would be better at these kind of roles, and I know it. No yeah. big deal.
Right.
But that's just kind of the way it is. It's like perhaps we should have a more multidimensional look at actors or actresses, and specifically female actors. Her,
yeah, that's yeah. what she was. And that was the question that she was asked.
Yeah. So there's Sharon Stone giving you
I was
opinions.
Like, someone is trying to make some trouble from a May, the end of May interview. And it was a pointed question. And when you read it, it was like you. It made sense what she was saying.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. What do you guys think about a Thelma and Louise musical? Because it might be coming our way.
Well, fun. I'm not opposed to
I'm
it at
either.
All.
Okay, well, the screenwriter who won an Oscar for the screenplay for Thelma and Louise, by the way, she's going to be working on a musical adaptation of that movie. You know, it could be okay.
It could.
Yes, it could be okay.
Yeah, it could be okay. Brandy Glanville apparently is the most foul-mouthed reality star on Twitter and the second most foul-mouthed star overall. This is according to a new study over at Mr. Q, if you want to know. Mm-hmm. This study counted the number of swear words that big-name personalities have used in recent tweets. Brandy Glanville has typed out 946 curse words in her 3,000 most recent Twitter messages, second only to Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that's a lot of...
It's not surprising.
That's a lot of, yeah, descriptive, you know, swearing descriptives, I guess, from her. That's how she just, she does basically every other word.
So she earned the title.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Brandy yep. Glanville. You've yep. got the silver medal in swearing.
There you go.
All right.
All right,
that's
thanks,
it.
Holly.
You're welcome. The Dirt Alert is over.
This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer, Lori.
Everybody knows. Yeah, everyone knows that, though.
Well, Julia, you actually were really skimming a study of duh when you reported during random that blaming COVID-19 for relationship stress could actually help couples stay together.
Yes.
I did skim a little bit further in this study. And
you know, I like to just read the cover page.
Yeah, because the stress that COVID brought to life in 2020 would have been unimaginable to us had we been told in 2019.
Oh,
we couldn't even imagine it,
no,
right?
Right.
So this research shows that people who were able to recognize how much that COVID and the pandemic stress was affecting them did a much better job of keeping their relationship healthy. And it's because previous studies have also showed this, that when it comes to natural disasters, that the people who are best off in their relationship are the people who don't blame their partner or lash out at that partner for the difficulties that are happening because of the natural disaster. And when I say the pandemic year, I mean everything from COVID to George Floyd and you know, the election right. was all right. part of it.
It was the most stressful
it
year,
It was the
period.
Multi-layer right. of all these different things. And so, with the study, they said when couples are aware that stress is impacting their relationship, it's easier for couples who shift blame for their problems away from each other and onto the stressor. It helps everybody get through it more easily.
Right.
And so those people...
Instead of you're being such a jerk right now, blah, 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 blah. It's a bigger picture. I'm yeah. extremely stressed because of what is going on.
Yeah, people who were more blaming of the pandemic and everything else were more resilient to the harmful effects of the stress that was happening just to everybody's relationship
Absolutely.
And everything, you know? So anyway, so what it's just... That was just, this from the University of Texas, Austin, and it's a good thing to remember. And
yeah.
those were the people who kind of came through it, and maybe some of the people who've broken up as a result of the pandemic, they were going to break up anyway.
Sure. Fair enough. Okay.
All right. That's my adding to
All
it.
All right. Thank you for adding
now,
on.
Now, here's another study of
okay.
duh. 44% of Americans hit their emotional lowest point of their lives during the last year. And I'm like, duh, of course.
Explain the emotional lowest point.
Well, that was the lowest that they'd ever felt in their lives. For most people, 44% of people, it was this year.
Fear.
Everything. We've never had the lowest emotional point.
And
in
for
my
that
life.
Extended period of time, because you didn't know when it was going to end.
Whereas other people, older people, right. that maybe went through polio or, you know,
the Korean War,
whatever, you know, just, something yeah. else, they might have had a little bit more. So anyway,
perspective.
Since last March, Americans report struggling 42% more with anxiety, depression 37%, and loneliness 31% than ever before. The one good news out of all of this, the one thing that has happened, is that people have discovered the joys
of people again.
Telehealth visits.
Oh,
for
yeah.
medical, for counseling.
It's giving you more access.
It's giving people more access.
Mm-hmm.
And so more people, 72% agree that mental health care is just as important as physical health care. Only 18% of people are currently enrolled in therapy.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised, because you couldn't even get into a therapist
at
one point.
Yeah. And 46% of people say they just struggle to find a therapist to help them, whether it's finding the right one or in network or someone is by that, or maybe there's not enough people. That's the other thing. And so anyway, it's the biggest problem is finding a doctor covered by insurance and finding someone you can afford. But people say that the one thing is that the pandemic has made people be more empathetic about mental health awareness, mm-hmm. more aware of it. And
I called. I did a couple mental health visits.
Yeah.
I did in January. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. And 50% of Americans in therapy feel the recent changes in technology is making it easier to get professional mental health.
It's different. I've been to in a room therapy, yeah. you know, where you're face to face.
But
I did this over the phone, not Zoom. And I still felt I still got something from
yeah.
it, you know, and it
yeah.
was way more convenient. I don't know if I would like that long term.
Right. But maybe it might be a way to find somebody too.
Exactly.
It's quicker access. It's more access. But at the same time, my neighbor, great man, he's a psychologist psychologist, I believe. And he tells me that a lot of his patients, the hardest thing is that they need that also, that because they're very nervous people about being out in public, but they trust being around him. So
right,
they're
yeah.
missing that face to face. So that is the hard part that they are finding. You're still getting access to him via Zoom.
Sure.
But they really find comfort in that.
But aren't people going back into in-person visits?
I think they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
With my neighbor's situation, he's very cautious. He's got a lot of underlying
yeah.
situations. Oh. Even with the vaccine, he's still very cautious. So he's still doing mostly Zoom, a few outdoor stuff. But finding that a lot of his patients really wish that they could be in person.
And you miss, I think this was one of the biggest things that we learned with the mask. You miss the facial expressions. You
yeah.
miss being able
yes.
to read someone like, oh, that affected
yeah.
you. Talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Versus just reading someone's eyes.
So,
or eyebrows.
Yeah, we all together. I mean, that's almost 50% of people felt that
yeah.
this was the most. So we do have that all in common.
Woot,
as we're
woot.
Going out to
yes.
have fun again. Is
yes.
like we had that. And then here's another study of a lot of pandemic related one, but most indoor Americans, people identify, you know, people, I'm more of an indoor person than an outdoor person. Most indoor Americans became outdoor people
yes.
in the last
Me too.
Year.
Yeah.
We went from house hermits to avid walkers.
Yes. To change the scenery.
Yes. And 67% of people said they became outdoor people to get away from the people they stay indoors with for the rest of the day. That was the number one reason.
A release.
It was.
People would drive in their cars just to go anywhere, just on a drive.
Yeah. Nearly 2 in 5 brand new outdoorsy people are between the ages of 25 and 40. And, so, yeah, just that made me laugh because, of course, that was one way we could socialize was
yep.
to be outdoors. So,
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. The garages.
The garages.
Oh, our garages grant. We had garage freezing below zero garage.
Right. Yes.
Garage family get togethers.
I like how you said the drives. Like Lily and I would do, you know, like the old classic Sunday drive that people
right.
would do. Lily and I on the weekends when we couldn't do anything, you couldn't go anywhere. We were sick and tired of sitting in our patio. We would just drive around and look at houses and
right.
talk. It was the one thing that we did. We just drove around and found like beautiful neighborhoods and we're like, oh, I like that little
yeah,
you know
right.
archway
right.
you know
yeah.
that's what we did. It was something that we could do together and still be kind of outside,
so. Right. yeah we walked a lot
remember
on
the
St. Thomas track
Oh, remember nice. All the miles that Casey made you put on your hoofs.
Oh, my word.
Casey seems to be quite the healthy individual.
Oh, you have no idea. Oh. You have no idea.
Please don't ever let him talk to me about
Let's work out 4 hours a day, please. It's not enough. Do more.
Right.
Do more.
Okay, Americans don't know where their national landmarks are in the geography department. Does this surprise anybody?
No, not at all. No.
I know where the Grand Canyon is.
Where is it?
In Arizona.
That's correct, Julie. But do you know 72% of people guess Colorado?
Oh, no.
Well, the Colorado River goes through the Grand Canyon.
Trick question.
That is a trick question. Yeah.
Colorado is the most incorrect answer for the Grand Canyon.
Oh, stop it. That's funny that I just said that.
Yeah. Okay. Only 4 out of 10 people know the Grand Canyon is in Arizona.
It's amazing. Go check it out, people. That is an amazing sight.
People also believe Niagara Falls. 22% of people in this particular survey believe Niagara Falls is in Iceland.
Serious?
Not although, on the New York Canadian border.
Although there is an amazing waterfall in Iceland that we saw.
Yeah, there is, but that's not what we're asking.
Right.
But yeah, they also, would you guys know where the Redwood Forest is?
From the ocean to the Redwood Forest.
Could you correctly identify state?
I want to say California.
That is correct, Julia. 51%
This land is your land.
But I don't know that it name drops California.
Yeah, from the Redwood Forest to the Cedar Island.
That isn't how you know it. I think you know the Redwood Forest because you were there on a family trip and your dad got out and you guys probably all posed in front of the big Redwood
Forest.
You
know what?
The big
tree.
We
never went west with dad.
Oh, you didn't?
We always went east.
Okay.
Because we always went east. Mom, we went west with because her sister lived in Andy Catherine.
Yeah.
California. But with dad, we went east.
Yeah. So you didn't do the family thing like in front of the
Redwood
Forest?
We went to Montana. That was where we'd stop and ski and turn around.
Do you have that photo of the Redwood Forest of your family in the park?
No.
In front of that big tree with the hole in it?
I'm actually just like Julia, to be honest. My mom and her sister and my grandfather were stationed out in California, so me and my mom would go out to California. My dad really wasn't a big fan of California, so he did not join us very often. Yeah. I went to college out there. He came twice, the day I got dropped off and the day I graduated.
Oh, my gosh.
We usually went to Florida because my dad's side of the family was in North Carolina, Florida, east. So it's East Coast Florida family and West Coast mom side of the family. Same thing as Julia.
Yeah. So, and I say, this is not a surprising thing that all these Americans that took part in the survey, that so few could answer where the hell the Shawnee National Forest is, because I know none of us will know.
I'm going to say, I feel like it's Tennessee, Kentucky, somewhere over there. Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Arkansas?
Illinois.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Shawnee?
Yeah, exactly.
We need to end it right now.
Okay, right?
Yeah. People were guessing that was in Ireland. So, you know, people...
We're talking about the strong suit.
No. This is not surprising. All right, listen, we come back.
I've got...
Do you have a story for us?
I kind of do.
Okay,
we'll be right back.
All right, thank you. Laura just said meow.
Yeah.
All right, so Justin Hartley, this is us, you know, the beautiful, beautiful Kevin. He right now is filming in Connecticut. And guess what he's filming?
I think it's a rom-com for the holidays for Netflix. It's called The Noel Diary.
Oh,
I'm fabulous. All for that. I'm all for that. And then Mayor of Easttown, Kate Winslet has spoke about, you know, what's standing in the way of season two. A good script.
Right. That's what they need.
A good script.
Because it was based on a book.
Yep.
One and done.
Yep. So
they need an idea.
She said it was really hard to leave that character. She liked how raw, how open, how available she was. She really got dug getting into that character, but just... wants to, you know, have the right script. Vila Mentimiglia.
Milo Ventimiglia.
But you know.
I read that wrong. Yeah.
But we just call him Milo.
No, Milo.
I know. So he is going to be in whatever.
She's an Italian with no flair for her native.
This is because
you can't,
I'm Italian.
You can't do the accent. You can't like say.
I'm well aware, Lori.
All right.
I'm well aware of how much you're better at it than I am.
Well, not
that. And she's a faux Italian.
Yeah.
You're not alone. I can't pronounce anything, so
it's okay. I can't pronounce a thing. And she doesn't Italian. Even like that. I can't even speak my language.
Yeah,
right. You stink eye. You have no accent. I'm terrible at it. I can't help it. Okay, so do you watch NCIS, Grant?
Yes.
Okay, so are you into
he
the
really
whole...
He really is a 65-year-old in the body I know. Of a 35-year-old.
Are you gonna wear... But you don't wear like cardigans like Ryan used to wear or anything like that?
No.
People love that NCIS. I know. I've never watched any of it.
I know, but Mark Harmon, now he's going to be in a limited number of...
Pam is bugging him to retire.
He is. Mm-hmm. Pam... Dauber,
Mindy.
From Mork and Mindy, right. But Gary Cole is officially joining the cast. You know who Gary Cole is, Lori.
I love him.
I love him.
I love Gary
Cole.
He
might be a reason to watch it with that big old mustache and everything.
Wasn't he Christine Baranski's husband?
Yes, the good wife. Yes, 100%. But so they confirmed that he is going to be, and he was on Veep, The West Wing.
Oh, he's been in many things.
So he's going to be joining the series as a regular role as FBI Special Agent Aldine Park. And though longtime series frontman Mark Harmon is expected to appear in a very limited capacity, moving towards, fading out, this Gary Cole casting is not to replace him. It's just to add on a new person. But I think that's kind of a good win. He's so great. He could be like a Bosch type character.
Oh, Bosch. Yeah. Good show. That's,
I know. We love our Bosch.
That's coming back on Friday.
It is. The new season.
The new season is excited. Dropping.
We love our Bosch.
We met Titus Welliver in person.
Oh,
he's dreamy. And those are his real tattoos.
Really?
Yeah, they are. Wow. He's hot.
He was
Oh, my
very
gosh.
Hot.
He was so
He and the guy from Wings.
I know.
Right?
Steven Weber.
Steven Weber. Okay.
It was in front of the Poulet.
Yeah.
Right across from the Scientology Celebrity Center.
We couldn't get into the party at the SAG Awards, so we decided to meet Cousin Christina and went with our friend Tanya, and we went there, and it was just like, we pull up, and we're like, holy crap.
It was Celebrity Corner.
And Steven Weber, and it was one other guy.
And we were valeting our Monte Carlo or something.
Yeah.
Our Nova. Our Malibu. We always get a Malibu. That's like an underrated car.
The Chevy Malibu.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of room, spacious.
Seriously. Okay, so remember when we went to Chicago, Lori, and the traveling statue of Marilyn Monroe right by the river, the Chicago River, whatever it's called. Well, so there's huge. So it's found its final home, okay?
Oh, it has.
In Palm Spring. The 26-foot Marilyn Monroe statue was recently unveiled in Palm Springs. And it was met with criticism because you can look up her dress to see her underwear. the iconic stance. And people are protesters are calling it a misogynistic eyesore. Comments.
It's kitschy, and I think if
campy.
There's a campy, kitschy place, it's Palm Springs.
I would agree 100%.
It fits in with the whole vibe there. It's just a big white alabaster-looking 35-foot statue, so the buns that you're seeing as you're looking up do not in any way inspire anything like
sexual or anything.
It's a great photo op.
It's a wonderful photo op to stand between her legs.
Hashtag Palm Springs, Marilyn Monroe.
I mean,
city councils should be happy. Tourism board, I don't know what people... I mean, this just feels like it belongs either in Vegas or...
I agree 100%
on Palm Springs. Yeah, Palm Springs is not a bad place for it.
And when someone said this might have been acceptable in the 50s, but not in 2021, I say stop.
Yes, come on.
We can't PC everything. This happened. It was iconic. It's an iconic thing, and people... I think it's kitschy, Laurie. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. I think
Meryl would want us to look up her dress.
Exactly. If she were alive today, she would be taking a picture underneath it herself.
Marilyn Monroe's estate must have given the okay or something on this, because Marilyn Monroe is a top earning dead celebrity.
She is. Laurie, there you go.
Everyone gets to say that, Grant.
Yes.
Elvis, Michael Jackson, Prince, Marilyn.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us.
Bob Marley.
There you go. True. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.